Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, October 30th. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us this afternoon are Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. These two law enforcement veterans have decades of experience between them, and they are here to answer your policing questions. Chief Hawkins took over the Albany force last year after serving as chief of police in Southfield, Michigan, since 2012. A lifelong Saratoga County resident, Mechanicville High School graduate, and former town of Stillwater judge, Michael Zerlo was elected county sheriff in 2013. If you have a question about law enforcement or policing, now is the time to call 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. We have Eric Hawkins. We have Michael Zerlo. We have you. And it all begins after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today, Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. They are here to answer your law enforcement and policing questions. Chief Hawkins took over the Albany force last year, although we were saying before the show, to me it seems like 3 years ago. I'm sure it seems like only a couple days to the chief. After serving as chief of police in Southfield, Michigan since 2012, he rose through the ranks of that department starting as a cadet in 1990. In all, Chief Hawkins has more than 25 years of law enforcement experience. He is affiliated with the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the FBI National Academy Associates, FBI Law Enforcement Executive Development Association, and the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives. A lifelong Saratoga County resident, Mechanicville High grad, and former town of Stillwater judge, Michael Zerlo was elected county sheriff in 2013. The Saratoga County Sheriff's Office is a full-service law enforcement agency with about 270 members and an annual budget of roughly $31 million. The agency covers an area of more than 800 square miles, over 20 communities, and 230,000 people. If you have a question about law enforcement, we have experts in the studio. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can tweet us at WAMCVoxPop, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Chief Hawkins and Sheriff Zerlo, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thanks for having me.
It's a very long introduction. I apologize. The show's almost over, but I'm glad you guys could stick around for it. Well, Halloween tomorrow, and I know the Albany force has some plans in place. So before we start with the show proper, Chief Hawkins, tell us what you have going.
Yeah, absolutely, and thanks, Ray. You know, this time of year is the time we're going to have a lot of children out and about. There's a lot of pedestrian traffic, and so we like to get the word out about safety and security, and, you know, so that this is a fun and festive time of year for our young people and for our adults as well. And so one way of doing this in Albany is by hosting what we call Safe Stop, and that's it'll be on Halloween night, afternoon and night. And it gives our young people and other residents an opportunity to go to select community centers, public areas in our city, and enjoy games and fellowship and food and things like that, and provide a safe space for our young people.
What about candy?
And a little bit of candy as well.
There should be some candy involved.
And a little bit of candy as well.
Fair enough. And Sheriff Zerlo, I know you guys have been doing some stuff like this as well.
We have. We've been involved with the community centers and the YMCAs. They've been holding events the last couple of days, and we've had members of our department kind of help out with that. Looking for rain in the forecast tomorrow night. So
does that make you happy or sad?
No, it's sad for the kids. You know, the kids need to get out and trick or treat. But we'll be out. We'll have extra patrols out. As the chief said, you need to be safe out there. If you're at a Halloween party where alcohol is being served, you need to be responsible also. And I know there's a few of those parties that are usually typically held on Halloween. So
Even
be responsible.
On a weeknight? Boy, I'll tell
absolutely.
You, there must be people who really move in fast circles.
Use the rideshare services, Lyft and Uber, and just be responsible. Use common sense.
Otherwise, what's new in the county?
It's just busy. Busy in the county. Men and women of the department are doing a fantastic job gearing up for our big Toys for Tots event.
That's you guys won an award, right?
We did last year along with the Marine Corps for the best Toys for Tots convoy and collection of toys throughout the country. and we're gearing up for our convoy on November 24th.
What is that? I mean, how many vehicles in the convoy?
Last year we had 200, and we collected 28,000 toys.
200 vehicles?
200 vehicles.
You have that many sheriff's vehicles?
We have everybody. We have fire, EMS, law enforcement. We have businesses that go out and collect toys. We start at the Balsam Spa High School at 10 a.m. We travel Route 50 north to the parking lot of the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. We unload and put them on tractor trailers, and they're sorted at a warehouse in Clifton Park.
And to be clear, we're looking for new toys.
New toys, yes, okay. Correct.
And is there a website people can find out about
this? You go right to my Facebook page, Saratoga County Sheriff Facebook, our website, Toys for Tots Capital District Facebook page, and all the information's on there.
We are joined today by Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. Our number is 800-348-2551. Chief Hawkins, what's new in Albany?
Well, one of the things that we're very, very proud of in Albany is we started our very own therapy dog program. And, you know, and it's part of our health and wellness initiatives. You know, one of the things that we started to see, you know, especially early on during my time here, is that there was just a tremendous amount of stress on our sworn and non-sworn personnel in our department. And we started scanning the environment, and we started to see that hospitals and courts and schools and airports were incorporating these therapy dogs as a means of relieving stress and, you know, helping the people in those environments to cope a little bit better with some of the high stress that they're dealing with. And so we thought, you know, if they're doing it in those environments, why not do it in a police environment?
Tell me how it works.
And so we had animals that were adopted, that we adopted in. And we have
the department.
The department.
They're running around the department?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they mirror the regular canine dogs in program. And so these are adopted dogs. They were donated to us. We take them through a certified therapy dog program. We have their handlers who are certified as therapy dog handlers. And they once they're certified, they work within the police department. And they, you know, they're going through all of our different buildings during the workday and helping with stress. But there's also outside applications as well. And so they go to community events and schools and things like that.
You know, my kids at school have seen these therapy dogs, and they talk, they rave about it. They come back, and I have a couple thoughts. One, how do you train and vet these dogs to make sure they don't go postal? And two, what if someone's allergic to dogs? What do you do?
Well, taking the second one, we do it just like we do with our canines. There are people who cannot be around our regular canines because of allergies or they just don't like animals.
Yeah.
And so we make accommodations for that. And so we don't impose the dogs on anybody. But in terms of the training, these dogs are trained. They go through a certified therapy dog training program. And it's a 6 or 7 week program or whatever it is. And they get certified and they're looking at their temperament. And they're, you know, making sure that they can work in an environment where there's a lot of stimuli that, you know, and they can operate like that.
Yeah.
And once they go through this and they pass this, you know, we bring them in and they're working around the department. I tell you, you can really see the difference when they come around into certain work environments. You can just see the tension just kind of go down. You can see people liven up. You know, animals do things to people, and especially in the work environment when they're not expecting it. And so we're seeing stress being relieved, and we're seeing people, you know, just lighten up and brighten up when they see these. And so we're very excited going forward. For what I understand, we're the only local law enforcement agency in the state of New York that has incorporated certified therapy dog programs with a formal program with rules and procedures and policies associated with it as well.
Is it working for you? Do you feel relaxed?
I feel relaxed.
Yeah? Do you ever let the dogs in the office and run?
Every once in a while, I let them come in so I can relieve some tension myself.
Very
absolutely.
Good. What about you, Sheriff Zerlo? You got the dogs running around?
Yeah, we do. We have a canine program. I have 8 canines. They're always out at community events. We just had them out at the county designated this year as a year of the senior. They had an event last Friday at a park recognizing our veterans and our seniors. We brought our canines there. As the chief said, it's a big hit. It's a relaxing. The seniors get to see and interact with the canine and their handler. And we go to a lot of community events, a lot of school events.
But these aren't the same canines that you take on investigations, right?
They're the same dogs.
And they're cool enough to hang out with people?
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Oh, pretty good. All right, let's tell you what, Zach, let's take an early break. We got some calls lining up here, and we'll get to the phones in a moment. Our number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo here. Your law enforcement questions on the way. Some cop music right there. And then it's pretty good. Thanks, Zach the engineer. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. We talk law enforcement today with Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And we'll jump on the phones here in a moment, gentlemen. This question came in via, I believe, Twitter. And this one says, Chief Hawkins, nearby Schenectady is looking at using the acoustic gunshot detection technology called ShotSpotter. Is this something the Albany Police Department is interested in acquiring?
Yeah, we're interested. In fact, we had a meeting with the representatives from ShotSpotter 2 or 3 weeks ago to talk about it. You know, there's a cost involved to it, and so we're weighing the cost-benefit analysis part of that. But there's certainly some value to being, you know, to having some awareness of where the shots are occurring.
Now, we have reported on this in our news department for several years now. Some in Massachusetts and some other places, they're using these. How do they work? I mean, not how well do they work, but how do they actually work?
They have sensors in various places in the city.
Microphones?
For the most part, you know, to simplify it, something like that. And they post them usually either on public buildings or on poles or someplace where it's high enough so that you can get the acoustics of the shots being fired. And when that happens, they send a message to they can either send it by a text message or email, or they can go directly to the dispatch center and let whoever the representatives in the law enforcement agency know exactly where the shot was the area, the general vicinity of it. And so the general premise is, if we can have an idea of where the shots are being fired, we can more quickly get there before they are actually reported, because apparently through research through ShotSpotter, only a small percentage of the actual shots that are being fired, when they're heard, only a small percentage are actually being reported to the police department. So what they're basically selling with this product is an opportunity for us to to know more when these things are happening, so we can actually get out there and investigate, even when we don't receive the calls for service.
But how do you stop false positives? If I'm driving along in my 77 Chevy Vega and there's a backfire, doesn't that trip the whole system?
Well, per the representatives, they have the technology to be able to discern the false positives, you know, the back, you know, when you're hearing something with vehicles, or if there's a firecracker, things like that. So they can't discern that. And they have the technology to do it. We're interested in it. It's the only thing with us is doing this cost-benefit analysis to see if it really works for us in that.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is here, and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. And let's jump on the phones here, and we go to Douglas in Saratoga Springs. Douglas.
Thank you for your continued interesting formats on the radio, and it's nice to have law enforcement that we can speak to briefly. Ray, my comment and question, I guess to Sheriff Zerlo, is I live in Saratoga County. I have a couple of properties on 9P on the lake. I have another property up Spire Falls Road and Mountain Road going up towards Corinth. And I'm 72 years old. I've ridden motorcycles my whole life. And the bottom line, state a question. Do you know what the law says about exhaust situations on motorcycles? And then followed up by my comment, it has gotten so out of hand that it's deafening at 2 in the morning to have an unbridled exhaust system go by our house or wherever. And any comments you might want to throw in there? What's the law technically? And I think I know what it is.
That's a state law, right?
But do you get calls about this?
Yeah. I don't off the top of my head, Doug, but feel free to, if you want to give me a call tomorrow at the office or shoot me an email, and I'll definitely have an answer for you. I totally understand your concerns, and I live in a neighborhood, too, that has the same problem. So
what do you do in that situation, though?
If we can find out, you know, who's operating the cycle, who owns the cycle, we could, you know, have a little chat with them and make sure the equipment on it is meeting
the
state.
I would love to set up an appointment with you, which I will.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the law, this is kind of a cheat situation here. The law says that if an exhaust system is modified after it has been sold, if you will, it is against the law. And it is so out of hand in our county. Do you know where Spire Falls and Mountain Road intersect, sir?
I do. Yes,
I do. That turn, that is called Throttle City. They all go through the stop sign there. And typically 1-2 o'clock in the morning, the noise is deafening. And all due respect, one of the things that I hear is that legal officers are very proud owners of motorcycles and therefore do not go after this situation. It's way out of hand. I'll set up an appointment with you. And Ray, I apologize.
That's all right, man. No, I get it. You know, I don't ride. I have family members who do. And one of the things about a louder bike, though, is people hear you coming. I mean, when you're on a motorcycle, you're invisible. You know what I mean?
Guys, if we use that argument, let's all take our exhaust systems off our cars.
Done and done. Douglas, thanks a lot for the call. We get your point. 800-348-2551 is the number. But, yeah, I mean, even on Central Ave here, mm-hmm. if I'm out taking the air, you'll hear them every now and mm-hmm. again, and they can be a little loud. What do you do, Chief? You ride? Do you ride?
No, I don't ride.
No?
But I have a lot of friends who do.
Yeah.
And one day, it's on my bucket list to actually do that.
Okay. Somebody just activated Judy in Albany, and so you're on the air without me doing a darn thing. Hello, Judy.
Well, hello, Ray. And hello, everybody. This question is for the Albany Police Chief. What can we as neighbors do about a boy who, he's been there 4 years. He's now 12 years old. And he smashes windows. He throws rocks. He steals. He enters people's homes. We've caught him breaking into cars with a knife.
Okay, no what names, please, Judy, okay? No names,
no,
all right?
None,
okay.
None at all.
Okay.
What can we as neighbors do? And are there any programs that could help this young fellow?
You know, thank you for that, Judy. And, you know, that's concerning when you have, you know, those sorts of activities in neighborhoods, especially when it involves our young people. And we like to get involved early with our young people. You know, we can very easily arrest our young people when they're involved in activities like that. And sometimes we do. And sometimes it's very, very appropriate. And in this case, you know, without many more details than what you gave me, this may be a situation where it's appropriate for us to make some custodial arrest and take some very strong enforcement action. So that may be the resolution for this. But I think even if we do that, it's very, very important that we get that young man some help. Because something is happening in this young man's life that is causing him to behave in such a way, in such an antisocial way. And we've got to get him help so that this doesn't become a vicious cycle where we're simply responding, arresting, and then he gets back out and he's doing the same things over again. So we've got a number of programs in our city that, you know, that addresses this. You know, we have a unit that deals with young people who are in that sort of distress. We have programs like our PAL program that can get young men and young women involved so that they can have a positive outlet.
For police athletically?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have a number of others. So I will be glad to share with you if you give my office a call sometime tomorrow. and you know, all of the programs that we have, and also, more importantly, to give us more information about what's happening with this young man so we can take the appropriate action to make sure that the behavior ceases and that this young man gets the help that he needs.
Judy, thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. We talk law enforcement today with Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. 800-348-2551. You know, dealing with kids can be difficult. And I know when schools get out, there can be groups of kids and there can be fights. And, we have the scanner going in the newsroom and then you'll hear, okay, go down to intersection X, Y, or Z. A bunch of kids are fighting. It's a fine line for law enforcement dealing with their kids.
Sure it is. And that's why it's important to have a strong partnership with our local school district. And we do. You know, I'm in constant communication with our school superintendent, talking about strategies for giving kids positive outlets. You know, we don't want to have our officers engaged in those types of confrontational type encounters with our youth in our city. You know, I'd much rather our officers dealing with our youth in our police athletic league or doing some of our community outreach things that we're doing. So that's why it's so important that we work with our schools and with other social agencies in our city to help our children to continue on positive pathways so we don't have those sorts of things happening.
And the number here is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop today. It's law enforcement. And Frank is in Johnstown. Hello, Frank.
Hi. Just one of the gentleman's comments about what I feel is to be a bit of a disconnect between the research that has been done by Professor Pinker showing that violence in society has been trending in a positive direction that is lower over time. And yet, you know, you sit down at any kitchen table, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up, and you throw it out as a question, and the perception is that society is getting more intolerant and more violent, but yet the data doesn't show that. There's a disconnect there. And I'm wondering if they have any insight as to what might be causing this overall anxiety, even though society is becoming actually less violent.
Let's start it out with Sheriff Zerlo.
Yeah, we've seen an uptick in, you know, the minor crimes, the burglaries, the petty larcenies, and I believe that's the same throughout the Capital District. We still have our problem with our opiates, and unfortunately, these people that are having the problems need to get the money to fuel their, you know, their habit. And we see the problems with larcenies.
But those really aren't violent crimes, right?
No. And in our county, I think, you know, knock on wood, we're lucky. But we do have the a majority of our crimes are the larcenies and the burglaries.
But, I mean, violence, I think, Frank, part of this is media fault and the 24/7 news cycle. I mean, the old adage is, if it bleeds, it leads. And so in the news, you're going to hear about this more often. But let's go to Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, and maybe you weigh in on this.
Yeah, and there's been a, you know, just like the sheriff said, I think he's right on point about some of these minor crimes that cause a lot of concern in our mm-hmm. communities. And that leads to the perception that things are a lot worse. But also, you know, I've seen a number of studies that show that actual violent crime is declining in our country. You know, reputable studies that are showing that. But you still have this perception that it's more violent around here. And as the sheriff and I know, the perception of crime or the fear of crime is just as bad as actual criminal incidents themselves, because they impact a wide range of people than just the victim itself. And so I think that one of the reasons we're seeing this is because, just what you alluded to, Ray, that, you know, we have social media now where any of these incidents, any of these violent, concerning incidents that we see can be broadcast within seconds across the country. And live and in person, you know, they're seeing these things, and it's, everything is so vivid and everything is so dramatic now because of access to information, that there is a perception, because of one violent, high profile incident, there is a perception that it's permeating our entire society, but the statistics are telling a much different story.
Interesting. Now, social media, and I know both of you guys are on social media, and the Albany Force is on social media a lot. When there is a big incident, you guys will tweet it out. And so you're also bringing that to the attention for a public safety reason. But there again, you're winnowing down all the news to the worst of the worst. And I guess that can lead to a perception as well.
Well, think about how it used to be 15 or 20 years ago. If a violent crime happened in Denver, Colorado, let's say, you know, we may or may not hear about it in this part of the country unless you're doing some research. You may see it on some of the national news stories. But now you can have something in some obscure part of the country, a violent crime. But now we'll know about it in upstate New York. You'll know about it in southern Florida. You'll know about it every place. And you'll see all the details about it. And so now there's so much information that's out there. And it comes so fast and furious that the fewer crimes that we're having right now have a much, much bigger impact in terms of perception than they did 10 or 15 years ago.
And both of you, in both of your jurisdictions, violent crimes are down?
In ours, in our county, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. In the city of Albany, violent crime is down 10% from this time last year. And when we're looking at our five-year trend, we're down 15 to 16%.
Violent crime being defined as?
As murders, rapes, robberies, and aggravated assaults.
This is armed robberies?
Yes. Or armed or unarmed robberies. In these areas defined by the FBI. So those are murders, rapes, robberies, and aggravated assaults.
How many illegal weapons do you guys confiscate a year in the city of Albany?
So far this year, we've confiscated almost 90.
Up or down from 5 years ago?
Up. Way up.
Way up.
Yes.
To what do you attribute this?
I think the proliferation of weapons on the street. I mean, I think that that's just a sign that there are many more out there. I think good police work, good intelligence. We have a lot more collaborations at the federal, state, county, as well as with our local agencies in terms of sharing information and equipment and things like that. And so that's allowed us to really identify some of these violent folks.
How about you, Sheriff Zerlo? How many illegal weapons? Off the top of your head.
Handguns in a year, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the chief said, the great partnerships and the intelligence we've developed now, working closely with our federal partners and the agencies, you know, around my county and within my county. So it's about working together and the great teamwork we have.
You mentioned that, you know, violent crimes are down. The trend in Albany is it's down, and yet you are finding more and more guns on the street. So is the problem the guns?
I think the problem is the mentality. I think it's the people who have this desire to have these weapons and use these weapons in an unlawful way. We have got, and I've been saying this for the last, you know, since I've been here, that we have got to get the message out to our young men, our young women, or anybody else in our communities that it is unacceptable to use a weapon as a way of resolving conflicts. It's inappropriate to use these weapons in those ways. And so we've got to get the message out that there are other ways of resolving our conflicts in our communities.
The number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And let's jump back on the phones and grab one or two before the next break. Let's go to Fran in Pittsfield. Hello, Fran.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call.
You're welcome.
You were talking in the beginning about trick-or-treat night, and we received an automatic message in Pittsfield that trick-or-treat night for Pittsfield, Dalton, and North Adams is being postponed until Saturday between 5:30 and 7 at night.
Okay.
So I just wanted to let people know that.
Why, Fran?
Because of the weather and because of the chance of problems with the weather and people cleaning up and winds and the like.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting us know. We appreciate the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye now. And Lucian in Pittsfield. Lucian, you're on.
Yes, I've got a question about police officers using weapons in order to disperse or move people during civil disobedience. What your opinion about doing that is.
What kind of weapons?
Particularly when I was in the last civil disobedience protest that I went to, they actually used bicycles as weapons to push people. And if I had laid a hand on them or used a bicycle on them, I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Okay. Sheriff Zerlo.
Officer safety. you know, protecting the officers that are at these protests.
Yeah. Bicycles.
But they weren't protecting themselves from anything. They were using the bicycles to actually.
Well, I'm not familiar, you know,
with this
the
particular.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot. What do you say, okay. Chief?
I agree with the sheriff. These are so dynamic, those situations, that we need more information to really have an opinion. But, you know, in general, you know, the sheriff and I and others in law enforcement, we respect the right to peacefully protest. And, you know, usually when things like that are happening, you know, we're putting people out there to you know, keep our officers safe, to keep the protesters safe, to keep anybody who's around there safe. And so our intent is safety.
Okay. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Cue the law enforcement music. This is Count Basie, the M Squad theme, right? Remember that show? No, you don't, but I do. Lee Marvin in the M Squad? I can't remember now. It was an old show. It's Vox Pop Law Enforcement Today. We have Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo here to answer your questions. Two emails, gentlemen, and then back to the phones. This one came in from Melanie. Subject heading, question for Zerlo. All right. With the new bail reform, jail populations across the state will have dramatically fewer inmates to house. What, if anything, do you plan to do with the empty space and less need for corrections officers?
I'm going to have to wait and see. We'll reevaluate after the first of the year to see, you know, what space is available. Then we'll talk as a team up there, and if there's available space, it'll be used accordingly. We just opened up a pod for our veterans and inmates that come in with opiate problems. They're intermixed.
What do you, and when you say a pod, what do you mean?
It's a pod of 33 cells. And our approach is that we, you know, veterans had come into our facility and they were released and they were just kind of put back out. And our goal is not to have them to come back in along with the inmates that come in that have, or the subjects that come in that have opiate problems. So there's a ton of services that we're going to provide for both groups. And hopefully it'll work and we won't see them again once they're released.
You mentioned earlier in the show opiate crimes and opiate problems. Mm-hmm. And just how pervasive is that? I mean, you think about Saratoga County, a lot of it's very rural. Yeah, you have the city of Saratoga and some smaller cities, but is it really that insidious and pervasive?
It is. We see it in the various towns outside the city of Saratoga. Our narcotics team.
But where does it come from? I mean, if you're in the backwater of Saratoga County, how are you getting that stuff?
We see it come out of New York City. I mean, it comes up, you know, the Thruway. We, you know, it comes from Vermont. We see it. We work closely with Washington County Sheriff's Office and our, you know, again, our federal partners, the DEA. I have two members assigned to the DEA task force. So it is that, you know, we talk about Saratoga Springs, but it's throughout the county of Saratoga.
Are you making progress?
I think we are. I really do. So, you know, we're going to continue to push, educate our school resource officers. We're in our second year of our program with them, and I have 13 of them in the school districts throughout Saratoga County, so we'll continue to educate our younger kids, you know, as the use of opiates, the pills, pink pills, and hopefully we can make a difference.
You know, we've had Albany County Sheriff Apple on here, and he talked very much about the education aspect of getting into the schools, and I have a disconnect of how that actually translates into the real world. Let's throw it over to Chief Hawkins and talk about your efforts to fight opiates here in the city.
You know, first we have to recognize that it's a problem. You know, I think there's, you know, there was denial for a while in our society, in law enforcement also, that it wasn't as big a problem. But we started to see that it was just transcending social economics. You know, we had some very wealthy people, and you had some, you know, other people who, you know, everybody's impacted by this. And, you know, one of the reasons, you know, that we learned is that, you know, the dependence on prescription meds and the over prescription of some of those meds had, you know, gotten some folks addicted to these. And
is that the main cause for the increase in your estimation?
I think it's a major contributing factor. And they started to see that other, you know, some of these synthetics and some of the heroin was a good substitute for some of these prescription meds when they couldn't actually go and get them legally. And so we started to see them just impacting, you know, I was hearing stories about, you know, good young people who were had some sort of injury, and they were overprescribed some of these prescription drugs, and they developed this dependency, and it crossed over into some of the harder drugs, and now they're out into, you know, some communities trying to buy them from some of these seedy young men and young women who are doing that. And so it's a problem. We're doing a lot in terms of educating with our youth officers, our community policing officers, especially with our school resource officers, and letting our young people know what the dangers are of these and how to give them some strategies on how to avoid it.
I guess my question is, and this was the disconnect I had when I was talking to Sheriff Apple about it, was that you could tell a kid almost anything and the kid's going to nod. How do you know you're getting through to a kid?
And a lot of times you don't. It's just important that we continue getting this information out. One thing, you know, I'm sure that Sheriff agrees with me on this is that we've got to educate our parents also. Because a lot of times we'll give the kids all this good information and it's not reinforced when they go home. And
right.
So we're doing a lot right now in terms of making sure that we give our parents and guardians information as well.
We've been holding forums throughout the county, you know, from Corinth all the way down to Half Moon Clifton Park. We've held 6 in the last 2 years. We bring law enforcement in, medical personnel in. We'll bring prevention counsel in. And we're trying to educate the public as to what to look for. So we're going to continue that. I know we're going to start that back up in January, starting in 2020.
And your officers have Narcan ready to go?
Yes.
How about you, Chief?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, one more email, and then we'll jump back on the phones. This one's from Fran. Have recent local and national events involving controversial or questionable uses of force by law enforcement informed your policies and training on the use of force? And if so, how? Well, that's a whole show, but I'll give you each a minute on that. Chief, you go first.
Absolutely, because when there are always learning opportunities for us, and there's always lessons learned in other agencies when things happen. You know, we make sure that we're operating within best practices. You know, we're a certified state certified agency, a nationally certified agency in terms of making sure that we have the policies and practices in place to deal with those sorts of things. But absolutely, we scan the environment. We see what sorts of things other agencies are doing well. And we try to replicate those things. And we also see what the mistakes that some other agencies have made, and we use those as lessons learned.
Sheriff Zerlo.
Likewise, we're an accredited agency. We're on a daily basis training our deputies. We have in-service training. And if we see something like the chief said, we'll address it with our membership through programs we have internally to make them aware of it.
The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Law Enforcement Today with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. And let's go to Josh in Berkshire County. Josh, you're on.
Hi there. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Sure. And I love the show.
Thanks.
I also wanted to thank the police officers, chief, and other officers in the community who serve us and keep us safe on a daily basis. So my question, it seems like news every other week there's a shooting or a fatal shooting of a fleeing unarmed suspect. And, you know, from a layperson's perspective, it seems like something that isn't ideal in the police force. And I wondered what kind of training is there with lethal force that helps prevent these situations happening. Is there some sort of firearms training where police officers, when there's a fleeing victim, maybe they shoot to disarm rather than...
Right, we got you. We got your point, Josh. Let's go to Sheriff Zerlo.
Okay, thanks, Josh. We do. We train on a yearly basis, firearm training and in-service training inside the classroom in regards to scenarios, just as you're saying. So luckily, that has not been an issue in my county. But again, like I said, we're an accredited sheriff's office, and we do on a daily basis yearly train for those type of scenarios.
How about you, Chief?
And just to add to what the sheriff said, we also, in addition to training with firearms and use of force, how to have the appropriate force that's commensurate with the level of resistance that we receive. One of the things that's really happening in law enforcement right now, and a strong movement that we're seeing, is de-escalation. And, you know, there was, you know, 15 or 20 years ago in law enforcement, you know, it wasn't emphasized so much. So you'd have an officer who would encounter a person, and a certain level of force was justified. But then the things changed, and it may change rapidly during that encounter. And back a couple of decades ago, we weren't trained so much on how to de-escalate and go from a higher level down to a lower one. So I think one of the answers to Josh's question, his question is that when we're also teaching our officers that just because there's a certain level of force that's justified at any given point in that encounter, if things change, then they must be trained and they must use the appropriate de-escalation as well.
Josh, thank you very much for the call. We go now to Mike in Glens Falls. Mike.
Hi. Thank you very much. My question is related to the use of force, and I am wondering how extensive do both of you guys have dogs in your police force? Because I am convinced that many of these shootings could be avoided if the officers had a canine partner. Two legs cannot outrun four.
I'll go. I mean,
you go first. Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. I have 8 canines in my department. I have 155 members of my department. So to try to equip each member with a canine is just funding. I just can't do it.
Right.
They're there to protect their handler. They're there to use for searches, drug searches and stuff. So I see where you're coming from, but unfortunately,
Budget is a budget.
It is.
All right, Mike. Chief, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, and I agree with the sheriff. And the only thing I would add is that, you know, these sorts of incidents are extremely rare in law enforcement. You know, I know they generate a great deal of attention, and they should. I mean, anytime there are any uses of force like that, there should be some heightened scrutiny with the law enforcement agency. But we, and I'm sure the sheriff kind of mirrors this in his agency, but we haven't had one firearms-related incident involving our officers this year. And I'm knocking on wood as I say that. But this is something that you see across the country. It is an extremely rare use of force,
right.
But it generates a lot of attention when it does.
Our caller saying this seems to happen every week, not truly the case.
Not true. Correct, correct.
But the media, and I'm part of the media, so you guys can blame me. And, well, you can yell at me after the show. Let's go back to the phones. Lauren in Hudson. Lauren, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to follow up on a comment that either the sheriff or the chief made about trying to spread this message that handguns aren't the appropriate way to solve conflict in the community. What you think?
Oh, Lauren, you're in a bad spot. I'll give you a chance here, but you're not connecting very well. Let's see. You got a better signal now?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. So far.
Okay. Yeah. So, did you hear the first part of what I said? I'm just following up on that idea that in the community, handguns aren't an appropriate way to solve conflict. But what do you think about then that the police officers that go out in the community are carrying handguns and are encouraged to do that when they're going into potential conflicts with people in the public every day? If you compare that to like a country like England, where I don't believe that that officers are armed with handguns.
No, but they have whistles. Anybody?
Go ahead, Chief.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a philosophical, you know, debate that we can have, you know, regarding, you know, whether or not, you know, officers, whether it's not, it's more effective to have officers without weapons like it is in other countries. But I will say this. I think that a properly trained officer with a weapon can be an extremely effective peace and public safety officer. There are some people out there who want to do some bad things in our communities. They want to do bad things to people. They want to harm others. And I think it's extremely important that we have the necessary tools, the necessary equipment, and in this case, the necessary weapons used in the appropriate way in order to address serious and deadly threats in our society.
It's about ensuring public safety, so I totally agree with you, Chief.
All right, let's grab a few more calls here before we wrap it up. And Diane in Wallkill. Diane, you're on.
Hi. This is perhaps an environmental officer might assist with this more than yourselves, but there are hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland, and lots of farmers produce hay, and the hay in bales is wrapped in enormous sheets of white plastic.
Yeah.
At the end of a harvest, these sheets of white plastic line the farm fields, and I'd like to know who to contact to have these white sheets of plastic.
Okay, jurisdiction over the white plastic. What do you think, Sheriff? You got some rural areas up in Saratoga.
Department of Environmental Conservation.
So I call NCON.
Yes.
Okay. Good, Diane?
Okay, wonderful.
Well, thanks
Thank
a lot.
You.
Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go to Ed in Hillsdale. Ed, you're on.
Hi. My question was concerning what exactly is New York State's law on tinted windows?
New York State's law on tinted windows. Now they're discussing it. So why don't we talk about the World Series, Sheriff?
Go Nats!
Oh, it's gonna be good. Now, what do you think? Do you know anything about that? The tinted window?
It's a law, and I know we have equipment to see what the
The percentage is.
Absolutely.
So I guess these guys don't know offhand.
But you want to shoot me an email or give a call, and we can have an answer for you tomorrow.
Any ideas, Chief Honest?
I agree. If they can either email the sheriff or me.
Well, Ed's in Columbia County, so he can probably.
He can still email me, or he can call his sheriff, Dave Bartlett, down there.
You know Dave.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, all right. Thanks for the call, Ed. And we'd zip over to Kinderhook. Hello, Hugh and Kinderhook. You're on.
Yes, hi. Being a hometown boy from Mechanicville, if I stayed there, I probably would have graduated in 71 with Sheriff Zerlo. I was talking with my cousin yesterday, and she frequents Saratoga quite a bit during the track season and off season to go shopping. She says there's a lot of vagrants up there that are bothering people. Is that a city responsibility, or does the Sheriff's Department take care of it? I'll get off and I'll listen to the
Thanks a lot, Hugh. We appreciate it.
Good to hear from another Mechanicville high schooler. Hugh, it's that issue is in the city of Saratoga, and I know they're trying to deal with that on a daily basis up there. And, they've had the issue with the Code Blue shelter, which they're trying to, form up there.
So there's some opposition to that.
It is. Yeah. So it's in the city, and I know the officials up there are working hard to try to resolve it.
All right, let's zip over and get one more here before we wrap it up. Kelly in Saugerties. Kelly.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. You got about 30 seconds.
Okay, I just think that there's a really good trifecta. This is just a suggestion. With all the dogs in the shelters, with all the people that are in the shelters that are in the group homes and rehabilitation centers, of training with the police force of recovery, training the dogs of recovery, and training them for, police activity so they can be on the street and people can know that the police are there instead of guns. I think that will fix your little
gun problem. Well, let's get some comments on that, and we'll wrap it up. Thanks, Kelly. Sheriff Zerlo.
We do. We have shelters right across from our office, and, my canine director occasionally will go over and try to see what's available over there, but we do.
And Chief Hawkins, I saw you nodding.
Yeah, same thing as the sheriff. We've got a lot of animal lovers in the Albany Police Department. I said at the outset of the program, we have an actual therapy dog program in addition to our regular canines. And, so we're always looking for opportunities like that.
Well, I got to tell you, this was a fast hour, and thank you both for being here. Support comes from Paul Smith's College, the College of the Adirondacks, offering degrees in management, natural sciences, hospitality, forestry, psychology, and more. Paul Smith's College, it's about the experience. paulsmiths.edu. Capital CarShare, a nonprofit car sharing network in the Capital Region, offering neighborhood transportation with a fleet of eco-friendly vehicles. CapitalCarShare.org for donations and information. And Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, plastic surgeon dedicated to helping people build their confidence and well-being with a woman's touch, cosmetic surgery at MedSpa, CAPEK, plasticsurgery.com. Well, thanks again to Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo for being here today. Thank you for listening. Tremendous calls, as always. Thanks to he was in a good mood today, because the cops are here. Zach Malloy, our engineer, well done. Thanks to Ed Rosen for answering the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, the science panel will be here to scare you on your Halloween. See you at 2. Right now, stand by for 51%.